Well, as the world turns, we moles have heavy hearts this morning as we produce our first show since the death of our dear friend and comrade, Clayton Morgridge. Clayton had been with the Old Mole for more than 20 years, writing philosophical commentaries on capitalism that challenged assumptions about human nature and its possibilities, arguing that humans are relational beings and exposing how desires are blunted by capitalist ideology. Clayton's contributions to the Old Mole Collective, however, were many. He was very instrumental in moving the moles forward as we began to archive the show and enter the world of podcasts, in developing our website, webpage on the KBOO site, and creating host portraits and biographies. And Clayton took also a leadership role, co-creating our collective-specific Old Mole Handbook, something that was probably largely overdue. But he, as well as collective members, got these things done, and he was always a reliable comrade in stepping in to fill the gaps and right the ship as needed. His legacy as an Old Mole will live with us, and his friendship and dedication will certainly be missed. Alongside Clayton's uncompromising critique of capitalism was his dedication to art and music as essential to any new society, the renewal of human capacity for cooperation and the appreciation and protection of our natural world, something he believed must be wrestled away from capitalist exploitation. I want to play a piece here that was originally aired in July 15, 2019. It's a very wonderful example of the work that Clayton did. It's called Why Capitalism is Blind to What is Beautiful and Worth Loving, and What to Do About It. In this commentary, Clayton Morgridge shows how some philosophers reduce the world to the totality of facts and regard all feelings as subjective, with nothing to say about reality. Capital even goes further, reducing all value to the value of money. Let's have a listen.
"Just the facts, ma'am, is what Sergeant Friday, played by Jack Webb, used to say on the old police show Dragnet. He said this to witnesses when investigating a crime in order to head off their emotional reactions to what they had seen or their speculation about causes and motives. Some philosophers, logical positivists in particular, put forward the idea that the real world consists only of facts, that our feelings about the world are merely subjective and have no bearing on truth, except perhaps truths about human psychology. Facts are objective and real. Feelings are subjective and not real in any way that counts. But what could be more real than the tension in a difficult relationship, or the love between people in love, or between parents and their children? Try to convey these feelings and the way they shape what goes on between people in purely factual terms. Here's another thing whose reality is undeniable, that would not even exist except for what goes on within us."
Thank you.
would it mean to describe what you've just heard in objective, factual terms? You could describe the sounds in great detail as wave patterns in the air. You could discuss the pitches and the tempos. But what makes what you heard music is what happens within us as we hear those sounds. When we listen to music with full appreciation, we let the rhythms and melodies play through our bodies. We ourselves become part of the music. We are moved by it. Apart from our feeling it, music is nothing. Without listeners, music would be mere sound and fury, signifying nothing. Music stirs us to our depths, engaging our emotions, and even the emotions we don't have names for. The same is true of the visual arts. They are made to be seen by living human beings who respond deeply in their bodies and souls to what they see. But isn't this true of the whole world we live in and are part of? We respond to the world not just as terrain we must find our way around in and manipulate to give us what we need. If we are fully alive, we are always responding to what is going on around us aesthetically and emotionally. With hope, fear, desire, disgust, love, and hate, and whatever emotion we are expressing when we say, "That's beautiful." The world would not be the world we know if it were not for the complex feelings involved in our encounter with it, any more than a Bob Dylan song or Beethoven's Fifth Symphony would be what we know them to be if we did not respond to them as we do. Nor, of course, would Dylan or Beethoven have created them. Yet it is not only philosophers like the logical positivists who can be seduced by the idea that the real world consists of nothing but facts that are entirely independent of human feelings. In fact, this idea is like a defense mechanism many of us employ to get along in a capitalist society. Why? Well, because capital has but one way of thinking about and acting in the world, and that is to expropriate and exploit it, to turn it into a singular unit of value, namely money. Bankers and landlords cannot see breathing, living men and women and children with needs for safe shelter. Health insurance and pharmaceutical companies cannot really see the injured and the sick. Apple and Amazon cannot see the human beings that work for them. Capital can see only sources of income and units manufactured and delivered. Capital can see nothing it can care for except opportunities for growth. Everything on earth becomes a resource for the production of profit. Forests, prairies, mountains, rivers and oceans, and all the living beings in them are fodder for the capitalist machine that chews it all up and excretes one substance, money. So when we look at our world, including each other, from within the system of capitalism, what is most real is just the facts. By what machinery and at what cost can oil be extracted from this or that seabed? And what is its value on the market? How many hours can we employ these workers at what wages to maximize our profits? How much timber can be cut in this old-growth forest at what cost and what return on investment? Just the facts, ma'am, and don't give me irrelevant subjective feelings about the natural world or the quality of people's lives. Yes, the beauty of the world and the love that people have for each other, those are fine for leisure time and vacation, as long as they don't get in the way of production. The world that consists of facts and just the facts, the world is conceived by logical positivism and seized and governed by capital, is a thin, cold, and colorless world. It is like music that evokes no pleasure, human life without passion, a tale told by an idiot, lacking even sound and fury, and signifying nothing but death. It is a world where the impulse to love struggles to find anything worth loving or anything to call beautiful, where our desire for love must be content with the imaginary realms of fiction, art sequestered in museums, and nature fenced off in preserves. Capitalism would blind us to everything that could evoke our love and our pleasure, to most of what impels us to say, "That's beautiful." The movement to do away with capitalism and to reconstruct the world, to make the world our world, a human world, is underway and needs our support and active participation. There is a world beyond the world of facts that we can cultivate together, guided by our desire for what can be loved because it is beautiful. I am Clayton Morgeridge for the Old Mole Variety Hour.
Thank you, Clayton. Clayton Morgeridge taught philosophy at Lewis and Clark for 40 years, and in his retirement, he wrote a wonderful book titled Demystifying Demons, Rethinking Who and What We Are. Clayton had this to say about his accomplishment. In the recent years since I retired from teaching, I have completed a book titled Demystifying Demons, Rethinking Who and What We Are. Its purpose is to survey the territory of the unconscious, where our inner demons lie, and to do this for readers without previous background in psychological or philosophical theory. It proposes a way of thinking about our souls, psyches, that is broadly psychoanalytic, but that remains closer to our ordinary experience than other presentations of psychoanalysis. The book is also more user-friendly than explanations based on brain science. It is addressed directly to people who are disturbed by renegade thoughts and feelings, inner demons, they do not understand or control. I first met Clayton Morgeridge in the late 80s when I took a class at the Red Rose School. Clayton's course was titled Bourgeois Ideology, with the course materials printed on a Ditto machine, and I still have those course materials and probably will refer to them once again soon. And it took just one class for Clayton to advance my thinking with a swift but kind rebuke of my Western lens. And I needed it. I was young and a little bit uncivilized in my politics. But his kindness and his care was immeasurable at that point in my life and development. And I will and have always remembered him for that. Here is what Clayton had to say about his teaching. Quote, "My aim in teaching is to find ways to ensnare the minds of students in the endlessly rewarding pathways of philosophical perplexity. Philosophy is a lifelong journey in which confusion and enlightenment are constantly succeeding each other, with each moment of enlightenment outshining the one before it." And that was Clayton. He will be missed. He will be always with us at the Old Mole, as his contributions will be in us and around us. I wish Clayton Morgeridge rest in peace and all the best to his family and friends. This is Denise Morris for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I was